Hello, greetings. This is Jeff Riddle. I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this brief Jots and Tittles episode, I just want to follow up on a little point that I made this week. I actually tweeted this out on my Twitter account, but I thought it might be interesting to do just a short video on it. And it has to do with a statement that was made by Martin Hingle. I've been reading recently this book. It's kind of an old book. It came out in 2000 by Martin Hingle, who was a respected New Testament scholar, mainstream New Testament scholar. The title of the book is The Four Gospels and the One Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a really interesting book. It's just brimming with lots of information, discussion about different things. And at one point, Martin Hingle says this, makes this observation. This is on page 45. He says, as the quite unequal numerical attestation of the four Gospels in the Egyptian papyri from the 2nd to the 4th century shows, that before Constantine, the Gospels were predominantly disseminated as individual codices, etc. But I just want to focus on this. So he says, if you look at the papyri evidence, he says there is an unequal numerical attestation. And I think what he's talking about is the fact that there are a lot more fragments of Matthew and John than there are of Mark and Luke, because Matthew and John were the most popular of the early Gospels. This sort of runs counter to the idea of Mark and priority, I think. Matthew and John, also when you think about Matthew and John, they're both written by apostles. And so they both had a special kind of authority. Of course, all scripture is equal in authority and importance. But he says among early Christians, there are more fragments of some Gospels than others. And he says this argues against some notion that some might hold that the Gospels always circulated in a fourfold collection. So from very early on, it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John circulating together. And so basically what he's arguing is based on the extant remains of these papyri, these early papyri, that this shows that the Gospels were disseminated, as he puts it, as individual codices. And so the most common thing was for someone to have just a copy of Matthew, or just a copy of Mark, or just a copy of Luke, or just a copy of John. And Matthew and John were copied and shared more, and there are more remains of it, as opposed to the fourfold collection. He says after Constantine, that is, after the end of the Diocletian persecution, then there was more of a tendency to have fourfold gospel collections or all the New Testament in one document. Now, here's the thing that I find interesting. First of all, he's arguing for this idea that the Gospels circulated initially as individual codices. Again, what I think is interesting about that on one level is how it relates to understandings about the Gospel of Mark and the so-called traditional ending of Mark, what some call the longer ending. I prefer to call it the traditional ending because I think it's authentic. I think it's original. And sometimes people who don't believe in the authenticity of the traditional ending of Mark, Mark 16, 9 through 20, they will say, well, it's fine to end for Mark to end at Mark 16, verse 8. It doesn't have to have a resurrection appearance accounts, because Christians would have learned about this from the fourfold gospel. They would have learned about the resurrection appearances from the other gospels. And so Mark doesn't have to have that, because Christians could read about that, or the reader could read about that in the other gospels. But if the gospel codices circulated individually apart from the other gospels, then would it make sense to have a gospel that did not have resurrection appearances? And I've argued no. Resurrection appearances are an essential part of a written gospel, and they were, I think, according to the earliest Christians, essential to the proclamation of the good news. So sort of gospel with a little G. And I've cited this many times, but in 1 Corinthians 15, it's a very important passage, I think, really important for telling us what Paul thinks is important. He's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says in verses 3 through 5, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," Aramaic name for Peter, "and the 12. And it goes on to talk about other resurrection appearances, including in verse 6 to the 500 brethren at once. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5, what we see is important are four key facts, objective facts that are essential to the proclamation of the gospel: that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised again on the third day, and that he appeared to his disciples. And all four of those things would be essential to the proclamation of the gospel, or a written gospel, I think, as well. And so if you look at Matthew and Luke and John, apart from Mark, you see that they all include the passion account, the death of Christ on the cross. They all include the burial. They all describe how Joseph of Arimathea took the body and arranged for it to be buried in a tomb. They all describe the resurrection, and they all describe resurrection appearances. Now, let's look at Mark. Would Mark have ended at Mark 16:8 with no resurrection appearances? And I think the answer to that is no. And I think Martin Hingle's observation here about how in the first four centuries of early Christianity, that the evidence seems to be that the Gospels circulated as individual codices, is but one more argument in favor of the fact that Mark would not have ended at Mark 16:8, but that it would have included verses 9 through 20, the resurrection appearances. Well, I hope that this little short segment has been intriguing and encouraging for those who are listening, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode of Jots and Tittles. Till then, take care and God bless.